You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rumble Spoon Productions, The Real Short Box. We are on the road at the We Con Be Heroes convention here in Chatsworth, California. This beautiful, sunny, hot day.
Oh, it's warm. 86 degrees.
86 degrees.
I thought it was like 100. It felt like...
Oh, it did.
It was 99 yesterday, buddy. Today is like
these guys made me do like multiple runs, getting alcohol, getting food.
I'm walking in the sun.
I mean, I was burning up, but the good news is I probably lost 5 pounds today, and I need to lose the weight.
It's good exercise to be out and about walking. It's a beautiful day. I mean, I'm getting to sit here behind a table, but, you know, I love it. This shop is awesome.
We know. This is Kevin. I'm here with Donald, and we're here interviewing a very special guest from one of my favorite, if not favorite, comic book publishing company, and Donald's second favorite published comic book company. And that is from Marvel Comics, Mr. Ben.
B. Earl. You got me, yeah. B. Earl is the nom de plume.
He has many books. Many books here.
I know.
Yeah.
You have a lot of Werewolf by Night here for sale.
I do.
And this one you told me about earlier off camera, so to speak, or off mic.
Off mic, yeah.
About this special issue, 1 out of 100, this special Werewolf by Night, issue 1, variant edition, 1 out of 100, you said?
Yeah.
And did I hear 1,000 smackaroos?
Plus. I mean, plus. You know, it's crazy because, like, since Moon Knight came out, and then, you know, obviously Werewolf by Night first premiered Moon Knight in number 32. And then we've got the Werewolf by Night series, which is coming out in September. And no one really knows. We even are kept in the dark. We've talked to our editors. We've talked to CB. And we're like...
They don't tell you much.
Yeah, they don't tell you. Because I think even on the Marvel side, like... I'm guessing they're doing a Midnight Suns. Like, that's kind of what I'm guessing, because it's a one-hour special of Werewolf by Night. It's not called Werewolf by Night. They're saying, but it's Werewolf
by Night.
So it's got to be Midnight Suns. Come on. Like, they're bringing in,
Make a choice.
You know, so anyway, so we're assuming by putting the pieces together that it's our character that we created, Jake Gomez. Perhaps, we'll see, but because the director is a first-time director, but he's a composer, and we made music a major component to our Werewolf by Night series. And he's also half Mexican, half Hopi.
Oh.
And the fact that the actor that was cast is definitely not a, blonde hair, blue-eyed Jack Russell, Aryan guy.
Yeah.
Jack Russell, the most like dog-type werewolfy name
right,
you could
Jack
get.
Jack Russell, of course. Come on, you know.
So walk us through kind of the creation of this character, of this guy, because we're all so used to Jack Russell in that particular Werewolf by Night. As far as I know, this is the first different type of Werewolf by Night we've had since then, and that was the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of an interesting story of how it came about, but kind of cutting to the chase of it. You know, Taboo and I, we started our duo doing in the Marvel 1000, and we did Red Wolf. So we were kind of focusing on this whole Red Wolf, angle, right? So we did a one page of Red Wolf and worked with Jeffrey Varaghi, who we've worked with ever since on a lot of our books. And Jeffrey is also a native creative. I like that.
I like that.
You know, he's a native creative. And he, did some of our variant covers, did some of our interior art, Werewolf by Night issue 3. Jeffrey does an incredible two-page spread. But we came in to create a brand new Werewolf by Night that is native and also Mexican. Mm. So we looked at this character and saying, okay, we're going to build an indigenous storytelling with our Werewolf by Night. And when I, you know, kind of came up with his origins and, you know, pitched it to Tab and kind of how we built it, it's basically from Mexico. And how his kind of curse came about, and that was, you know, it was a really cool curse, and you get the whole story of the curse in issue number 3.
Is it similar to what you would get with like the Chupacabra, that kind of mythology?
So, you know, what it came about was these character, like basically it was a curse with a shaman that ultimately gave him the ability to shift into a werewolf. And it was only supposed to be for one night, but if he acted in rage during that one night, he would be forever cursed, and so would his lineage.
Oh, wow.
And the only way for that curse to be broken was that from the age of 13, when they got the werewolf curse, the males got the werewolf curse, until the age of, I think I've made it like 20, like they had to get out of their teens. I forget. I'm the greater. I have to go back to my notes.
Yeah, what's your notes?
I have to go back to my notes.
Obviously you have this all plotted out over like whatever, a 20 issue, 30 issue
story arc. Well, I made this,
arc.
Yeah, I mean, I really, you know, when we came in to do this, like I had this vision of like making this an ongoing series that went to Mexico, because that's where Tab's roots are, and that was what we were looking at, and we had this whole idea of like making it kind of like his father, and like his father who's a werewolf, so you see that in issue two, and there's this big two-page spread with his father and him. Anyway, like that's the origin story, and basically
hereditary.
They have not been able to break the curse.
It's like it's a hereditary curse.
Yeah, it's a hereditary curse, exactly. So it's not this like you get bitten and if he bites someone he's not going to turn them into a werewolf, like it's in the blood. So
okay. Wow. Now, are they vulnerable to the classical silver bullets take you out type of thing?
Yeah, so you know, when we were kind of playing with the ideas, you know, we wanted to kind of lean into the typical sort of tropes that existed as to the whys of like how you can kill the werewolf, but it's also like he's really you know, his powers, you know, are affected. Like he basically turns into a werewolf by night. It's not so much the whole
not by day, but
right,
by night.
So the idea being that like it wasn't that the full moon came and all of a sudden he turned into a werewolf. He had the ability to shift himself into a werewolf only at night, right? So like it was this kind of. And, you know, again, the Hulk thing, right? So that's why issue number one, the main cover, it's like a Hulk homage, because his power is given to him through this hereditary curse, and he can only adjust himself through emotion, and that he was using music to basically meditate his emotion or mediate his emotion. So his best friend has these playlists that she would like utilize to kind of Hulk him up, you know? And I'll be honest, when we came up with this pitch and like started playing with it, and the way we got Scott Eaton, our artist on board, it was really like, we wanted to make like WWE wrestling with like, you know, this whole backstory of, you know, monsters. And I was writing for my son, you know,
of course.
Son is here. Like it was for a kid's book in a way. Like it was just big smashing
fights. Not too gory.
No, I mean, there was a few moments in the fourth one where it was a little gory. But
so PG-13.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my spiel.
So let me ask you, where are you from originally, Ben?
New Jersey.
You're kidding.
I'm
from New York. Well, what part of New Jersey are you from?
Outside Philly. So.
Like Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill, Maple All right. Shade.
All right. I don't know where any of that's at.
Yeah. Of course not. You know nothing about the Garden State.
We're South Jersey kids.
South Jersey.
Well, actually, I take that back. I do know a few things about the Garden State. Actually, I know there was a Medieval Times there.
Okay.
And I went to that in 2003, It was great.
But there did you know go. About Six Flags Great Adventure?
Aha! That's a good time.
No, I never been there.
Or let's go back facts. We're about the same age. You remember the dangerous but also fun? I think it maybe
Clementon.
No. Action Park.
Oh, Action Park was there too, but Clementon was the other one, the oldest wooden roller coaster in all of the country.
Oh yeah, that's
that
right.
That was scary.
That's right.
Did they do? They did a thing like a documentary on Action Park, right? On HBO.
Yeah.
Like recently.
There's like a bunch of documentaries in Action Park.
Yeah, my parents. I don't think ever took me. We went to Clementon though. That was our spot. Anyway, but yeah, Jersey.
We had Geauga Lake and Cedar Point.
So where
was
are you
like
from?
Our big ones, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
got
it's
it.
It's not terribly far, but far enough.
Yeah. Far enough.
Far enough. But
how long you been riding for?
Well, yeah. What happened? Okay.
Hey,
this guy is my girlfriend.
All right.
I started.
See, Gregory has some support. It's beautiful.
Oh, you're an interview.
I'm doing an interview. So I started, I mean, I've been writing ever since, I mean, when I was 11, I wanted to make Marvel Comics. So I started writing when I was a kid, started coming up with Dungeons & Dragons stories.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, that was my background, man. It was like, making comics, making Dungeons & Dragons, writing.
Do you play Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh,
man?
I do.
He does. This guy does.
I do.
Nice. You know,
I ran a campaign for almost 2 years during the whole pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So, and it was a whole thing that I, you know, it was a homebrew. And I also wrote it as a book.
Those are the best kind.
So it was
really
so
are.
Much fun, right? So I would give my pages to my players, every Monday I would write my homebrew and I would give it to them by the end of the week. So I have a 300-page book of our adventure. So I can always pick it up whenever.
Oh, nice.
So you heard of that. There was like this, it's an Amazon series. I can't remember the name of it now. Jeez.
Box Mansion.
Thank you.
So
yes.
Tim Mouse did it. It's based on Critical Role. One of my buddies, Jason Charles Miller, he does all the music for them, he does the music for Critical Role. Yeah, like, I love those guys. I think they're great. And Tim Mouse was the animation studio.
Brilliant idea, really. You know, you take a campaign, which is the basic story, the premise of the entire thing, and then you use that as the outline to create this whole animated world. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man. Why didn't anybody ever think of this? And if they did, why didn't this ever take off? Like, it's crazy.
Well, I think a big part of it was the fact that, like, when they did Critical Role, they were really smart about how they kind of built it around their Twitch, and they had a lot of real actors, and they were already improv actors, and it was that kind of thing of, like, you get a bunch of professionals together to do it, because a lot of times when you do, like, D&D, like, especially back in the day, most of the time, it was a bunch of people that was like all inside jokes or inside stuff.
That's very true.
It's very hard to like translate that to a mass audience or a population, you know. So I think what they did was really smart, was they knew that they were kind of creating it with a pop culture feel to it. So I think it worked really well. But yeah, I mean, look, coming back to like writing, I mean, when it came to the actual professional writing, the first like comic book job as a professional that I got was actually with Will.i.am with the Masters of the Sun book.
Oh, yeah. So you know, it's funny. I think it was you. I bought
that book.
Yeah, I got it as a Christmas gift.
Nice. So that was the book that I did. Will brought me in. I wrote it. I brought the team together with Damien and, you know, worked with Will on that. That came out as Black Eyed Peas project.
Yes.
And then that was how Taboo and I met. So that was kind of the beginning of our journey as creatives and writers. And then Tab was like, man, I love Red Wolf. And he was like going, he did this thing, I think it was like Joe Quesada was doing those, they were like the short videos on Marvel. And Tab was on one of them with Joe and they did an interview. So when he was in New York, he was talking to Joe and Joe was like, oh, you know, let's go over to the, you know, Bond, let's go over, you know, meet with CB and Tom Brevoort. And that was how we ended up doing the Marvel 1000.
Ah, okay.
So, Sun is over here. Anyway, so yeah.
And how did you stumble upon the Werewolf by Night project? Like, how did that get
going? Well, we got pitched it. We got a call, Jake Thomas. So we did the one page in Marvel 1000. We brought in Jeffrey Varghese to do that with us. And, you know, it was Red Wolf. And we got a call from Jake Thomas, who was the editor on Red Wolf, calls us up and is like, hey, guys, do you want to do Werewolf by Night? But we're going to do Werewolf by Night in a very different way. It's going to be a brand new Werewolf by Night. You guys get to create him. It's going to be
That's amazing.
Dude, right?
Like, to be able to, like, somebody reach out to you and be like, you get to create your own
thing. And guess what?
Yeah.
If they pull this for a Disney Plus show...
They already do.
I mean, your character? I mean, your version?
Yeah.
Your version?
Well, we're assuming.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, wow.
Halloween.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is awesome.
So that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh,
we don't
I missed
know
that. I'm sorry. I missed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's all good. It was a little
congratulations,
convoluted.
Man.
Well, so we don't know yet. Hold on, Liam. We don't know if it's guaranteed yet, but what I was saying was the musician, the composer of Spider-Man and Batman is the director of the Werewolf by Night project, but it's not being called Werewolf by Night. What we're assuming is Midnight Suns, because it's a one-hour special, and the main character is Gael, the guy from Motorcycle Diaries. Gael Garcia Bernal.
That guy.
Gael.
He's a good actor.
Yeah. So he's going to play Werewolf by Night.
That makes sense. For your version of it, that makes perfect sense.
So he's going to be, we're assuming they've taken our character, made him older, and now this is Gael's.
And you'll get credit, right? Oh my goodness, it's beautiful.
I have no idea. You know what?
It's beautiful.
I'm just grateful to be a part of the Marvel family.
This is like a childhood dream come true, for real. You're part of the MCU, or as I was saying on some of our previous episodes, soon to be called, I would say, the MCM, the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse.
Yeah. Well, and so our next, what we're doing right now is I'm writing Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man. So that is my story of Spider-Man here in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tab and I are writing. And again, there's an indigenous bent, Native American bent. I can't speak more
to that.
Is
this Peter or is this Miles?
It's Peter.
Okay.
So, and I can't say more, but stay tuned because there's going to be some firsts. And if they follow the outline that I put together for my 5-issue arc, you're going to see a very brand new first. And that's all I can say.
When's it coming out? Next year? Or
September.
Oh, the September. Okay.
Yeah, it was supposed to drop in June because there was some pushbacks and paper shortage and things like that. We are now pushed to September, but we already made the announcements. We've already got our variants. Peach Momoku does one of our variants.
Nice.
Yeah, there's some incredible.
You know, variants. Jerome Opina, I was thinking about him. I love his work. Oh, my goodness. Jerome Opina?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Peach is no slouch either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, Peach is no slouch either.
Yeah. So Juan Ferreira, I think. So he's our main artist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you meet him?
So Juan was put on by Nick. So Juan suggested us, or Nick suggested Juan to us. We looked at his art, we're like, man, he's awesome. It would be a great fit. He was coming off a spine-tingling Spider-Man. So, like, one of the things was like, okay, we got to just make sure we differentiate ourselves from spine-tingling. Because, again, ours is, the Demon Bear is in our.
Oh, the Demon Bear.
Yeah, it's Demon Ooh. Bear and Spider-Man.
All right.
In L.A.
Nice.
So this is a little bit of fun trivia backstory. When we got an opportunity, CB hits us up after our Ghost Rider series, right? And he's like, look, he's like, I love what you, we love what you guys are doing. You know, the Marvel family loves what you guys are doing. We want to give you guys a bigger character. So who would you guys be down to do? And we're like, wow. He's like, yeah, like Spider-Man or Hulk. I remember he's getting that email in the mail. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, like.
Silver Surfer for me.
Dude, I mean, look, Surfer's like, I'm an X-Men fanatic.
You're going to wear that shirt until it falls off.
Yeah. I mean, so like for me, I was just jonesing to do an X-Men story. So I was like, all right, I want to go back to the old school 90s crossover of Spider-Man and the X-Men. That was my dream.
Now, who's on your team of the X-Men? What's your team comprised of?
All right, so here was what my original pitch was. I wanted to put a team together with Forge.
Okay, oh, I love
Storm,
Forge. Great, Storm,
Gambit,
great.
Gambit.
All right.
Havoc? Gambit.
What about Havoc?
I love Havoc, but I was like on the, like I only was putting together a small team.
Okay.
And it was going to be very focused on this kind of indigenous sort of storytelling with Forge is kind of like my main.
The main guy.
Storage.
And you know what? He deserves it. He deserves more attention.
I wanted to give Forge and Storm, after Chris Claremont's sort of love story, bring them back
together.
In a very tense.
Yeah. Like that
was what I wanted to go with, you know. Yeah. And then I was going to bring in Miles. And I wanted to do like an interesting thing where Miles and Storm were going to kind of have this sort of mentorship, and it was going to be like a Storm being kind of like a matriarch figure to Miles, and then I had some ideas about playing with the whole Ultimates, and so anyway, I wrote this big long treatment, I sent it in. Like a few months later, it had to kind of do the rounds of like all
the
X-Men editors and the Spider-Man editors.
They all got to look at it.
Everybody. And it came back and it was like, man, people love this, but we can't do it because of this and this. And like I got pinged on all this. And I was like, you know what? All good. You know, I'm like, so and anyway, the remnants of the X-Men part of it became the Demon Bear. And it ultimately was then Peter.
They were like, yeah, I guess you can have the Demon Bear.
Well, they love that. Like, CB is, like, a big fan of, like, you know, because we were working with, like, playing with Danny Moonstar, too, on the X-Men side.
Oh, okay.
I know. Good stuff. So it was like Danny Moonstar was going to come in, so it was New Mutants. It was this whole idea. Anyway, the new story, what we have, and I can't say too much about it, other than the fact that, like, Danny Moonstar's Demon Bear is in it. We've got Peter Parker, and there's going to be a new, brand new character introduced in issue one, and she's going to have a really interesting arc and how she
and origin.
I won't say anymore. but yeah, it's a cool story.
I hope they give you like a straight up X-Men story to do. That'd be fun.
This seems like it's a gateway. You know what I mean? Like they're like, okay, so we're gonna slide him
you know what?
X-Men
it might be a test
character.
Run. It might be a test run for you.
That's
never
exactly
know.
What I'm saying.
We'll see. I mean, you know, the fact that we're getting to write Peter Parker, if I never write another comic again, I'm like, yo, I got to write Spider-Man. I got to write Peter. I got to put my stamp on the canon of Peter Parker, and I got to bring him to California. Like, and I got to bring him for my son, every other kid, you know, that's out here in L.A.
I would love for you. I don't know if you had a chance to, like, read Uncanny X-Force from about a decade ago, but that, to me, was one of my favorite X-Men type runs.
That was Rick Remender.
Yeah,
right?
Rick Remender.
Send me the run you want me to read.
Oh yeah, we're done. I'll send it. But let me tell you something, my brother. Oh my God, you have a great team put together. Deadpool, Phantom X. That's the first time I got introduced to the Phantom X character. Okay. I fell in love with him right away. Psylocke.
I love Psylocke.
Psylocke's dude. Awesome. Archangel. And Wolverine.
That's dope.
This team is basically like an assassin X-Men super team put together squad. To take out.
He's like, yeah, hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. First four issues, they're going after Apocalypse, like to take him out once and for all.
Yeah.
It's so well done. You're going against his latest version of the Four Horsemen. They are like some of the baddest group of Four Horsemen ever.
That's awesome.
They bring the pain.
That's awesome.
Famine brings the pain.
I love that.
War brings it. I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing.
I mean, that, you know, those are those fun, like, team-ups. I've always been a fan of the team-up. I've always been a fan of, like, what can we do? And we start bringing different personalities together.
Yes. And one thing they do later on, they go back to the Age of Apocalypse timeline, and a certain person is now in charge of it. So, of course, Apocalypse is gone from that timeline, but it's so awesome on who takes his spot as like, he has basically, like, the Apocalypse power. It's a little twist there. I'll tell you later, but it's so cool.
That's awesome.
Man.
You're
so
up to the same because I have not read that. I am. Look, I mean, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I kind of fallen out of comics for a minute. I
was
down here to do film.
Oh yeah.
Like that was my thing.
You're in LA.
You know, in LA. I was living in New York, doing TV and whatever. But comics are always a special place in my heart. And you know, I threw this party called Comic Book Sunday, connecting all my friends in comics, film. You know, and it was just this incredible opportunity and experience for me to like. Build a community because comics to me was always about community.
Absolutely.
And Julio's here, and I got to say, Julio runs an incredible shop here.
Well, yes, we always give credit and props to We Can Be Heroes. You know, we
you're good. Jump in, Julio.
He's too shy. He's too shy.
Julio's over here.
Well,
gushing.
Look, he's from the Northeast. Of course, he's going to be a good guy.
Jersey man. Monday night, we're going to the show.
Monday night.
Oh, Hotel Cafe.
Awesome. Oh man, yeah. And
your lovely
girlfriend Ada is an incredible musician.
Oh, it's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
She is an incredible musician.
What do you play? What instruments do you play?
I play violin and I sing.
Oh my goodness!
Piano.
The violin.
I'm a singer-songwriter.
Violin is one of the greatest instruments ever. I love
do
violin.
The wash pan, but literally that's about it.
You have to come check out my music.
Oh,
she's got a residency in Pasadena.
Oh wow. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, for me, it's always about the creative spirit of community. I think that's the most important
thing. Plus, keep your creative juices flowing. That's the best thing, too.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for us, it's like as writers, as creatives, as storytellers, you know, it's like I also play bass. I've been playing bass my entire life. I don't consider myself an incredible...
Are you a blues fan?
What's that?
Are you a blues man?
Oh, I love the blues. I play, you know, I'm all about my pentatonics, baby.
There you go.
You know, and I love those, like... Little runs in the middle. But I mean, that was actually how we met, was actually through music.
Oh, thank you. Well, music is a universal language that brings so many people together.
Right.
So many people together.
Well, and it's why we put that in our books. That's why we put it in Werewolf by Night. Music was a big part of it. I mean, obviously, my creative partner is Taboo.
I'm sure you listen to music when you're writing these stories, obviously.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have
She's like, yeah.
You have to.
I listen to a lot of weird, creepy stuff. I go back to, like, sometimes, like, I don't know, if you guys are industrial fans. I mean, Godflesh.
Industrial music, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, Ministry, like, all that stuff.
Then
like,
in Nine Inch Nails.
I love Nine Inch Nails. I mean, you know, man, there's, like, I have a whole playlist I'll listen to depending on what I'm writing. When I was writing the Kashala series with Dr. Doom, you know, that, you know, Tab would send me his playlist. I would be inspired because that's like, you know, look, that's how we are creative. Like Tab and I speak through music and it's like we look at the jazz vibe of it.
You know, it reminds me of Cowboy Bebop. I never watched Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Every episode is so beautifully put together with music and every episode is kind of based on, you know, a song or based on music.
Man, I mean, you know, like Shampoo is also like that on the hip hop side, you know. And for us, it's like our creative process always connects to that music, you know, and those playlists. And we're actually working on, because I've also been in tech. Like, I've been in tech on and off my entire career. I started in 1999.
As a programmer?
No, as video production.
Oh, video production.
Like, dealing with, like, compression and algorithms.
Oh, wow.
And all
okay.
That codecs.
Okay,
and all
codecs.
That fun
okay,
stuff.
Yes.
So this is like, you know, like, coming up on that, like, 1999, that was the beginning of, like, how we were streaming web, you know. And now I've been in the whole blockchain space, NFTs, the buzzword, metaverse, but
NFTs.
You know, it was so funny. We had a project back in 2018, and we were going around like with NFTs because we were using them as a gaming component. And I was throwing parties in Santa Monica where I was airdropping people free NFTs to come to my party.
Wow!
I was just calling them party tokens. We were just saying, these are our party tokens. Here's your NFT. You would scan our QR code, and we would send it to your Toshi wallet. Like, that's how we were doing it. I launched a controlled chaos.
I wish I met you 4 years earlier. Good Lord, man.
You know, but we're still, like, I'm running right now. Like, I got an NFT project we dropped in October. I'm building another, like, big one on the Polygon network right now. So we're, you know, in talks every week with Polygon. We're partnered up with them. You know, and the beautiful thing I look at with this is, like, we can build creative communities and connect with our community, and they can be part of our creative team. Like, I do this, I have this project called Chihuahuas, right?
Oh.
And they're these stupid little funny dogs. And stupid in the sense of, like, they're ridiculous, right? But the fun thing is that the artist Roland I work with, we basically have these jams where we talk to our community, and they help us create the world. I would love to do that with Marvel. Like, I would love where we could, like, create characters and then have our community, like the fandom.
Okay, well, what if Marvel wouldn't do it, but DC would?
If DC would do it, I'd go and do it with DC.
Or if DC didn't do it, Image said yes.
Image could do it too. Well, you know what's interesting you say about DC? So one of the guys I'm friends with, in there's a company called Palm Studios, right? They're Palm Network, Palm NFT Studios. They just did the DC drop for the NFT cow, the Batman cow. So I'm friends with their chief creative officer, this guy Matt. And, you know, and I'm like, man, so much, because I'm working with Sideshow right now, so the collectibles, right?
Oh, yes.
So Greg, so I'm working with them as being a Web3 onboard guy to help bring digital physical together so that we can find ways to, like, have physical representation with digital characters, digital ownership, and basically create opportunities for exclusivity through that, as well as connectivity. That's what NFTs to me look at, because it's like fandoms, man.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
What, you're hungry? I'm hungry too.
I'm hungry. How old's your son?
My son is 11. Gonna be 11.
Oh, wow.
All right, he's 11 on Monday.
Well, when you're that age, you know, it's you're gonna be. It's never I am.
He's very excited. He got his favorite Power Rangers to sign his.
Oh, that's right. You know, they were here earlier.
I'm not saying I am 42. I'm like, I was 40.
Right. I know. I'm gonna be 42 in May, so.
Oh, what? May what?
May.
Ah, okay, so you're a Taurus.
Welcome to the club.
Buddy. You're a Taurus.
You just turned 42?
Yeah, I was 42 in August. I'll be 43 this year.
Oh, man, okay.
June for me.
But he's always older than me, so I got him on that.
June.
Yep,
you're,
June.
You're a Scorpio?
No, Gemini. No, Gemini.
Gemini.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a Taurus.
The bull horn. The bull horns.
He's Aries.
Oh, so you're the ram.
You know, he's...
Or just the god of war.
All right.
The god of war.
Right. Was it... Right, I'm Mars. What was it? That's anyway. But man, I mean, look, I love talking to about this stuff.
Yeah, I feel the passion. I feel the passion.
Thank
you,
thank you very, very much for taking your time out of your busy schedule here at Weekend Be Heroes.
And we'll invite you on again to talk. You know, this is a great conversation.
Look, I mean, I'll give you guys my info. I also, like I said, like, I'm all about building community. I got.
And you're based in LA, like you said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm Toluca Lake.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, North Hollywood here.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, dude. Neighbors. Have to go to Bob's Big Boy. That's our jam.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're a fan of Bob's Big Boy, stuck with me. So I create, like, so Tab and I, being a fan of Bob's Big Boy, like, me and my son, it's our spot, right? We're going there for his birthday on Monday. So created Mighty Maxine's. So you will always know a Taboo and B-Roll comic because Mighty Maxine always plays a part. So in Spirit Rider, there's a scene where they're at Mighty Maxine's in Burbank, right? So it's the diner where they're hanging out.
Okay, cool.
It's Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah.
So in the Werewolf by Night series, in issue 3, they're at Mighty Maxine's out in Phoenix, Arizona. Oh. Out in Arizona. There's always a Mighty Maxine's in every. It's like my Kevin Smith homage to put Mighty Maxine. And in the Kashala Infinity, there's Mighty Maxine, the character in the cartoons, and there's a little stuffy, a plushie, on her bed of Mighty Maxine next to Deadpool. So, like, I love putting all these little drips, like, in all of our stuff. Issue number 2 of Spider-Man is gonna have Mighty Maxine's. And I'm gonna drip in a few friends of mine as
Nice. That's super cool. That's cool.
I got, yeah. So anyway, I love doing that, you know.
Well, if you like big boys, you got to check out one of our episodes that we did recently. We did this Battle of the Brand Icons episode, and Big Boy, who did Big Boy take on?
He originally fought Freddie Funko.
He fought Freddie Funko. That's what it was.
Because the first Funko was at Bob's Big Boy.
There you go. There
you
go,
my friend.
And that was where Funko was born. How
crazy
is that,
right? And they had a good battle.
Yeah, you have the old school versus the, you know, the guy that was created because of the old school.
The old school. Yeah. Well, I think that's why I love it. I think Pops, you know, and all that. It's like there's a beautiful story and trajectory there. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of the origin. And that, to me, is why, look, I would love it if we could make a Mighty Maxine Pop, because Mighty Maxine, inspired by Bob, full circle.
Full circle.
Right?
Full
I'd be
circle.
Happy with the short box Pop.
Right?
It even rolls off the tongue.
The which one?
Yeah,
short box pop.
Short box pop.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you know, we'll see, yeah. But we got a new project coming out that we're creating ourselves. So keep an eye out. It's called Angry Foot in Blades of the Unseen.
Is this from Marvel?
No, this is me and Taboo and David Bonner.
Self-published?
No, this is an NFT project.
Oh, cool.
That we're building with Sideshow. That it's going to be, so it's going to be a Sideshow exclusive. There's going to be a digital character, toy, all this stuff. And we've got we're putting a big team together. We're putting some big stuff. And ultimately, it's going to be a fighting AR game where you get to play as all these different characters. It's going to connect into hip hop. The way I'm pitching is Def Jam Vendetta meets Mortal Kombat. So
nice.
That's what we're working on right now.
All right.
I like that.
Well, again, Ben, thank you so much for your time. We're going to definitely
thank you.
Get together again. This is awesome.
For sure.
And, for all our listeners, you know, if you don't see us at the comic shop or out and about anytime soon.
Because we're literally at the comic shop.
Perhaps another time we'll see you.
At the luscious, sweet, friendly, and not always expensive comic book shop.
Thanks again, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.